actually stems from the weeks of prayer that we've been having on our Sunday evening. It actually began on the 3rd of October. That's when we first started meeting each week since then. And as a number of us have gathered together to listen and look to discern what it is that God is actually looking for. What is it that he's asking of us? Now, there have been many occasions where we've been challenged to consider our own walk. There's been repentance. There's been thanksgiving. There's also been prayer for individuals. We've been praying for the church and for other situations that are going on as well. There's been some pictures shared which stirred us as well, because we could see the relevance of them. And then there's been many relevant scriptures that have been fed into us each week as we've met. God has really got our attention through this. And if you're thinking about it, in many ways, we've been like watchmen. We've been on that tower, searching, seeking to watch out for the things of God, to see what it is that he requires of us. And while we're there, we pour out our needs before him. And there was something about it, it actually reminded me of Habakkuk the prophet, because there was a time when he poured out his complaints. He watched, he waited, and he listened when he complained about the situation that they found themselves in Israel at that time. So we're going to look at a couple of verses from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'll get out of the way. We're using the New Living Translation because I felt it brought out more about what we're trying to look at this morning. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There, I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. An interesting scripture that, and it's actually, there's something within it similar to what I shared a few weeks ago about how the Lord answers prayer, where it's yes, no, and wait. Of course, it says there, wait patiently. And that's not always easy for us to do, to have patience when you're waiting for something, longing for something, looking for God to just reveal himself or stir something up within us that just changes or helps us transform. I must say that in our times of prayer, we've not heard God say no. But we have heard him remind us of promises that he's made that we have not yet seen fulfilled. And of course, we all get impatient. Anybody here get impatient with things? Yeah? Yeah? We recognise that in ourselves. And here the Lord reminds us to be patient while we're waiting. He says, if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. It will surely take place. So what about when God reminds you of something that we've stopped praying for? When he brings something back to your attention? So imagine it's a good number of years ago, the fellowship received a word that we would receive 1% of the population of Cumbernauld. And we haven't seen that happen. But recently, through the prayer time on a Sunday evening, we were reminded of this word. There are times when we do take our eye off the promises of God. And certainly the last 2 years has seen us focus more on the church and just being able to try and continue meeting together. There's not really been any focus about the community or being able to do anything, you know, that we can connect with. So most of it has been about the church over the last 2 years, just trying to maintain and sustain one another. I want to encourage all of us this morning to be a part of this particular vision or word or message, however you would prefer to call it. was a few weeks ago, I was struck with the phrase, one day in May. That was all I had, one day in May, and I hadn't a clue what that meant. And it wasn't until the prayer time when we came together, that's when the thought of a focused prayer and fast for the whole month of May, with each of us taking part in it by choosing a day in May that we will fast and pray. We're having a focus, praying again for the community, that God would do something. It's what He's called us for. He's called us to reach others. It's not just about us enjoying fellowship together. There's much more to God than that. If you might take 2 days of fasting, feel welcome. But we're looking at one day at least in May. Now, I'm going to put an email out to let everybody else know. There's a number of people away on holiday to let them know about that. So this morning I'm saying, would you join us? Would you join us in praying that God would continue His work in us and within the community? You know, whether you have you may have somebody individually that you're already praying for. Or you may choose to pray, Lord, would you start doing that work for that 1%? Lord, would you start help us be encouraged to see that you're keeping your word? But we faithfully have to come before Him and seek Him. And I think often that's what we do with prayer. You know, you come up with the subject, you pray for a wee while, it doesn't happen, we move away. We move on. And I felt that God was bringing us back to that place and reminding us of this word for that purpose. You know, the population in, well, at least the census for numbers in 2019 in Cumbernauld, was it just over 50,000? I think it sits beyond that now, but this, I thought I'll try and get at least an accurate number. It's talking about 50,000, which would mean we're praying for about 500 people. Wow. Sometimes you need a number to give you focus, to pray, to help bring us to that place of what it is that God's challenging us with. Now, it is a challenge to our faith. It's a challenge to mine. Do you think that God would do that in this church? And then you think, why not? Because it's no doubt to me, it's no doubt to you, it's doubt to God. And it's about having faith in Him that He would do that and that He would use us to fulfill that. It's about believing that God can. And I think often that's where the difficulty comes in, because we think it's something that we have to do. God needs to touch people's hearts. We need to be influencers, yes. We need to be sharing our faith. But it's God that does the work. Perhaps we'll stop dreaming. That is spiritually. Because when we stop dreaming with God, when we stop giving our spirit a reason to soar, it won't. If we don't give our spirit a reason to soar, it won't soar. Now, I believe that if we allow God to ignite our spirit again, give it His purpose, we will see God work. So let's believe God during the month of May as we focus our faith with a purpose. Now, when it comes to the subject of fasting, there's actually a video that I'm going to play. And, the Tuesday House group, some of them have already seen this. Very good, very clear explanation. It's by a Dr. Donald Whitney. He's a professor of spirituality in the Southern Baptist Seminary. And he's talking about what is the purpose of fasting.
I think most of the people watching this video would be familiar that fasting is in the Bible. For example, in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, it says Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But now let's talk about how He quoted Scripture to the devil. So we know it's there. We sort of pass over it. But it's a very important teaching in Scripture. It's a very important spiritual discipline, not in the sense that it's a mechanistic way of getting our prayers answered, that if you will fast, that guarantees that God will answer. That's a theology of works there. And even though our fasting doesn't manipulate God, let's be reminded fasting is God's idea. The most important thing about fasting when you actually try it, is to realize that fasting is to be done for a purpose, a God-centered, biblical purpose. Otherwise, it becomes a miserable, self-centered experience. So many people say, well, I've heard about fasting, so I decided to try it, and boy, I was so hungry, and all I could think about was the growling of my stomach, and I thought, well, if I ever get through this, I'll never do this again. So they finish in their whole time. Whenever they're hungry, they think, man, how much longer till this is over? Their whole thought is, how long till it's over? That's just works. That's just legalism. That's just endurance and self-inflicted suffering in hopes that God will be impressed by my self-inflicted suffering. That's not what fasting is about. The most important thing about fasting is to practice fasting for a God-centered biblical purpose. In my book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, I summarize 10 purposes found in Scripture for fasting. But most of them have to do in one way or another with prayer, to strengthen prayer. John Piper speaks of fasting as an intensifier. Here's how it should work for the motive to be right. When your stomach growls, when your head aches, and you say, man, I'm hungry, your next thought's going to be, oh, that's right, I'm hungry because I'm fasting today. If your next thought is, and how much longer till it's over, wrong motive. It's going to be just a bad experience. But your next thought should be, oh, and I'm fasting for this biblical purpose. So, for example, let's say you're fasting for the purpose of praying for your spouse or for the salvation of your child. And throughout the day, your stomach aches and growls. Your head hurts, and you think, oh, man, I'm really hungry. Oh, that's right, I'm hungry because I'm fasting today. Oh, that's right, I'm fasting for the purpose of praying for my wife, for my child. So what do you do all day long? You're praying. So actually, you want to feel hunger. Your hunger serves you. Your hunger serves your higher purpose, which is to pray all day for your spouse or for your child. So that's why hunger is a good thing when it comes to fasting, because the goal is not to feel hungry. The goal is not to suffer and think that God will be impressed by your suffering. The hunger serves your higher purpose, which is to pray for your spouse, to pray for your child, or whatever it might be. So I think most people have a fear of fasting. Of all the spiritual disciplines, it is the one we feel in our bodies. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. No one likes to feel hungry. But when you remember that your hunger serves you, I mean, is there never a time you want a prayer answered more than you want lunch? Is there never a time you want someone to be saved more than you want a Big Mac? Well, that's where fasting comes in. When you say, I want this so much, I want to pray about this all day, and I'm going to fast as a reminder, to use that hunger as a reminder for this all day long. Some people say, I would like to serve others more. I would like to have more money to give. That's where fasting can come in. Don't have lunch. Use your lunch hour to serve someone. Use your lunch money to give. So we dare not miss the many benefits there are of fasting. Don't be afraid of fasting. Now, I think it's important to add this feature because I see this a lot with my students. When I talk about fasting, a lot of people, in fact, will rule themselves out because they're diabetic, or maybe they're pregnant, or they have migraines if they fast. Well, certainly we would not want to be asking anyone to do anything that would cause any harm to themselves or certainly to their unborn child. But in the Bible, Daniel, you'll remember, in the first chapter, and his 10 friends had only vegetables to eat for a period of time and water to drink instead of the food that was offered to them. And so historically, we have looked at that as a partial fast. So I found that in almost every case where a person wants to fast but they have some physical limitation, by means of a partial fast, they can participate. And traditionally, this has been one of two ways. If they need balanced nutrition, they have a balanced meal, but much smaller portions. Or maybe they just have one simple food, like just rice, just bread. And the point is to get the minimal nutritional intake to keep them from having physical problems. But yet they still feel a lack of full satisfaction. They still feel a little hungry, or they have something that prompts them physically still to pray. So I think where there's a will, there's a way. Our flesh wants to excuse all of us. We don't enjoy hunger, so we say, well, I can't fast for this reason, or I can't fast for that reason. Well, we wouldn't want to ask anyone to fast in such a way that would cause them any physical harm whatsoever. However, where there's a will, there's a way. So it may be through a limited meal that we'd call a partial fast, but usually where people want to do this, they can find a way to do this. And I hope those who are watching this video, if they've never done that before, will give it a try. You know, one meal can be a fast. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. Anyone planning on a longer fast of 3 days or more maybe should get some medical advice before they do that. But even one meal for spiritual purposes can be a biblical fast.
Thanks for watching Honest Answers. You can submit your questions.
I hope you find that helpful in terms of what fasting is. Because sometimes when you mention the word fast, there's a dread comes over you. And all you can think is, I'm going to be starving. I'm going to be hungry. But when you hear it put like that, and you sense the purpose behind it, or the way that even it can be a partial fast, there's still some way that each of us can contribute to fasting and praying for the community that we live in, or for your family, for your friends, whoever it is that you're bringing before God. The whole thing about this is we do have a biblical purpose for fasting and praying. When Jesus met with the Samaritan woman, it tells about that in John chapter 4. There's a quote that he made to disciples after he was speaking to her. And he said to them, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The New King James Version says, the fields are white and all ready for harvest. This phrase that Jesus used, it may have been a local proverb. You know, experienced farmers could, they could look at the season and know what stage they were at. They would know how far away the harvest time was. They could also look at their fields, they could look at the crops and recognize that this is the right time for the harvest, this is the right time to bring this in. Therefore, we find that Jesus is actually relating to the disciples as he is to us through Scripture, that we should have the ability to recognize the right time for a spiritual harvest. And in this case, we find the Samaritan woman is bringing many people from the town back to meet Jesus. So Jesus is telling the disciples about this, and when they look round, they can see this crowd coming towards them. And presumably, when the disciples turned, they would see the sight of this approaching crowd. The people would be wearing their white garments and their headgear. And as they seen this sight, they would have grasped his meaning. He wasn't talking about crops. He was speaking about people. You know, evangelism isn't something that is merely done when we think it's convenient. When we think, now I'm ready. Now it's time. There will never be a perfect moment. There will never be a perfect moment when it comes to, you know, waiting and reaching out to other people. Because if we wait for that perfect moment, nothing will ever happen. We'll be waiting and waiting and waiting. So our purpose is before us. The fields are always ripe for harvest. This is not a seasonal thing. This is something that God calls us to be a part of. So as a fellowship, it's looking to start, you know, taking steps to reclaim lost ground, lost momentum, whatever you want to call it, and start to use the month of May to give us focus again, to bring us to that place, to recognize what it is that's being asked of us, what it is we're called to do. We have a new ministry that's going to be starting on Monday the 9th of May. It's going to run the afternoon, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and it's going to get called simply The Meeting Place. The Meeting Place. And we've already got a team from Fellowship who are going to be part of this. But all we're doing is simply putting an invite out there. It's going to start getting put out through social media and different organisations to make it known. It's really to say to people, you know, bring your friends along. Are you fed up with isolation? Come on, get out. If you don't have any friends or very few, come and make some new ones. And it will simply be an opportunity to just serve them tea and coffee, sit and have a chat. I don't know, maybe some games or something like that, we'll see. But it's just an opportunity for people to get back out again and to give them somewhere to meet. So that's going to be in a Monday afternoon, starting on the 9th of May, 1-3. So for us as a church, it's an opportunity again to connect with the community. Who knows what God will do? But I'll be a lot more confident if I know the church is praying and fasting for us. Even if you can't be a part of it in terms of physically, you can spiritually. And it's something that every one of us can be involved in. We're also looking at starting a daytime group for women. It's going to be on Tuesday the 3rd of May that starts. Now this is just a trial group we're starting, okay? We're looking to, we've asked a small number of women to come along. And Vivian is going to lead it. It's actually based around a book. It was actually Les Land that passed this on to me, a book by Lisa Terkust. And the book's called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And when I read the book, it's very good in terms of giving you focus, helping you understand life a bit better. It looks at the different situations in life that leave us wondering why our life has turned out the way it has. The things that we're dissatisfied with, or the things that have hurt us or caused us grief. And you come to that place of asking God, why? Life was not supposed to be like this. And we all face different challenges. We all face different things. So it's just a small trial group to begin with to see how that goes. And we'll maybe look at developing that later on. So that's not to say the women I've asked are guinea pigs, okay? But it is an opportunity to look at this and see how it takes off, and it could be something then that could open up later. So what I am asking of the fellowship is that we commit to one day in May. One day in May to fast. And perhaps you already have family and friends, workmates or neighbours that you're praying for. Include them in it. It's not just about us. You know, whoever it is that God is leading your heart, whoever it is that you're praying for at this time, include them in that. That day of focus brings you to that place to pray for them, pray for your church, pray for the neighborhood, pray for the community. We need to look for opportunities that God can actually reveal himself to others. And it's a starting place for us. And if we as a church make the small sacrifice of fasting for a day, whatever you decide is a fast for you, as you heard in that video, you know, whether it's partial, full day, that's going to be entirely up to you. Nobody's dictating how you fast. But I am asking that you do fast and that you do pray in some way to be a part of this. No, we should be praying that God will lead people to his church. They might not even come here. They may go elsewhere. The people that you're praying for. That they would discover his sacrificial love for themselves. And also it's praying that we would be a church that people actually need. Where they come here and their needs are met. Where God can fulfill them. Wherever that gap is in their life, that God in his mercy could fill that through us. I don't know if Grace and I, we both get saved not knowing that there was a group of people who'd been praying for us. We never found that out until afterwards. And it's probably the same for many of you. There'll be people praying for you. You went forward at a meeting or responded somewhere to Christ, and then you find out later that people have actually been praying for you. People sacrificed that for us. People have sacrificed that time and that effort for each of you. And I think it's worth remembering because it gives you a bit of focus. It gives you purpose. It makes you understand, you know what? God can use me to do that for somebody else and bring them into his kingdom. Perhaps we've drifted in our own spiritual walk and our example hasn't been the best to our own families. As a result, they may have drifted away from God, and before you know it, they get caught up in life, and God becomes, you know, second, third, or even fourth place in their life, where he's no longer that priority, because things have changed, they've took their focus away from God, and it's left them floundering back again in life, hoping for the best, instead of having the best. So we're looking for a work of the Holy Spirit, that he would move amongst us. It doesn't mean that God will suddenly make an appearance amongst us, in case you're hoping for that or looking for that. The reality is, people see Jesus in us. That's how God's revealed. People see Jesus in us. And again, that could be focus for our prayer, our fast. Lord, use me. May Jesus be revealed through me into somebody else's life, into other people, that would be effective for him. You know, one of the things that we prayed for in the prayer time was that the seeds that have already been sown, we're asking God to start germinating them. There'll be people that you've been in touch with, people that you've spoken to, people that you've shared your faith with, and you've looked and you've seen nothing happen, but the seeds have been sown. Perhaps it's time to ask God to germinate those seeds, stir something in them that they would know and recognize and hear the voice of God for themselves. So my prayer is that God would give us focus, that would help us at this time, because we're seeking him for his glory. Not that people say, well, that's a brilliant church, or that's good, or that. So that people can say, do you know what? I met with God. Jesus is real. That's what we want to happen in people's lives. Perhaps we need to pray that God would forgive us for the times we've just taken our eye off the ball, where life has just swallowed us up, consumed us, and no longer does he have that place of importance, even within our lives, or the focus that we have in our prayers. God can use this to help us, you know, turn around and grasp and get hold of again, perhaps things that we've lost. So I pray that he would renew our purpose in us. That he would, give you a plan for the future. A plan that we're all part of and can be a part of. Because it's about fulfilling his plan and his purpose and giving him the glory. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite praise back up. Well, Craig's come up to introduce this next song. Thanks.
Before we stand to sing our closing worship, I want us to just listen to a song. And feel free to stay seated or stand, kneel, bow, lift your hands, close your eyes, open your eyes, pray along, sing along, however you want to spend the time. But just spend it just you and God. What did he say to you during the sermon? What's he saying to you just now? Just be with God.
Cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned away. We've turned away. With shipwrecked faith, the idols rise. We do what? Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now. us before your hand. We're reaching out. We're reaching out. We're reaching out. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord,
want to take away for the sermon, but this might be too much information, but I done something this week and it got me thinking. I cut my big toenail too short. I've done that. It's sore. It would up the ante of your fast, because every time you walk, you're going to be reminded. Another thing that I sometimes do when I want to really up the ante in a fast is find the tiniest stone you can possible, and I mean really tiny. Stick that in your shoe. Trust me, you'll know it's there, no matter how small it is. So there are other ways of upping the ante. But let's stand and praise.